this truth to people who are asking questions and looking for answers. Help us to share your love with them. And Lord, then I pray that you would just help us as we understand and know that you're in control. Well, I pray that you would help us as a people, as your church, as your children. Lord, help us to breathe and help us to experience your peace in the middle of this time. And we ask it in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for allowing us to do that this morning. Josh, music was amazing. This morning I had a sermon, but not that I don't have a sermon. I still have a sermon, but it changed, so don't get excited. You thought you were going to beat the lunch crowd. You still may. We got a little time. This morning, my dad and I we've had several conversations this week just about all that's going on, mainly the call and say how silly the grocery store was or what something he saw. And then he always has a way of just kind of bringing it back into perspective. And I appreciate him as he does that. Before we get started, I thought this was great. I needed to share it with you. My sister has been in Florida all week for spring break. And on their way back, I don't know how many keep up with my sister on Facebook, but this is the picture. They saw this coming home. It's a trailer going down the road with one little package of toilet paper strapped to the back of the trailer as they're running down the road. I don't know where they found that one at, but there's nothing level in. Do you get the feeling, though, that folks are a little uptight in all that's going on? There's a lot of anxiety. Maybe a little afraid. And that's understandable. I'm definitely not knocking any of that. But I've been thinking about this statement all week. And look at what it says in John chapter 14, verse 27. I'm going to read it from the Christian Standard Bible. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." He said, "Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." I love the Amplified. It's too big of a Bible to carry around because of all the other notes that they put in it. But listen to what it says in the Amplified. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." And then in parentheses, it says, "Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance, and give you courage and strength for every challenge that we face." Now, if you remember this statement, what's fixing to happen in Jesus' lives just hours from now? He's fixing to be arrested and crucified. Now, if you had any reason to be fearful and afraid, that would be it. Because I believe that even though he was 100% human, he's 100% God. So I think he understands what's fixing to come down the road. I think he understands all that's involved in us experiencing forgiveness from our sin. And we even know that the human side kicks in a couple of times leading up to the crucifixion. Because you remember, he says, "God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." Some doctors will tell you that the experience that he had in the garden when he began to sweat what it would be like drops of blood is a condition where blood vessels closest to sweat glands would literally burst because of the anxiety and the stress that he's undergoing at that point in time in his life. Leading up to the crucifixion, when he should have been afraid, has every justification, every right to be afraid, what's he concerned about? His disciples. And he wants them to experience peace and not be troubled and not be fearful. That's his concern. He knows that these guys are fixing to desert him and leave him hanging. hanging all during the trial. And he's worried about their peace. He tells them not to be afraid. Why? Because what I'm about to do, yeah, Satan's fixed to get a rude awakening. Scripture tells us that Satan's fixing to bruise his heel. What's Jesus fixing to do to Satan? He's fixing to crush his head. He offered his disciples just before going to the cross a peace that the world doesn't understand. Not a worldly peace. The worldly peace is here today, gone tomorrow. We get a few weeks of it until the next crisis comes along, and then we're all upset and out of sorts again. That's the way the world does it. Jesus didn't want to do it that way. He offered them a divine peace. He says at one point, my peace I give to you. Not your peace. Your peace is what's got you into this mess. Your peace is not solid. It's not secure. It's not founded on the right things. But my peace I give to you. A peace that goes beyond anything that the world can face at us, throw at us. A peace that goes beyond anything that's here today and gone tomorrow. A peace that's greater than circumstances and situations that we face. And I'm afraid that way too many times we're just like the disciples. I know I am. I know we get nervous and we get scared, and there's times that fear literally grips us. I'm not just talking about the corona thing. I'm talking about anybody that works in the oil field. We got lots of folks that's been given laid off. You farmers experienced a pretty tough time this year and probably had every right to experience fear. And yet Jesus reminds us, don't be troubled. Don't be at fear. I love what Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8. He says this, and I'm reading from the Message, a paraphrase. He says, keep a cool head and stay alert. The devil's poised to pounce, and he would like nothing better than to catch you napping. But keep your guard up. You're not the only one plugged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world, so keep a firm grip on the faith, because the suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Jesus Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together on your feet for good, because he gets the last word. Aren't you glad that he gets the last word, not us? He does. So as Christians, we wonder sometimes, can we really know peace in the midst of, and you fill in the blank, in the midst of marital situations, in the midst of health situations, in the midst of financial situations? If you got kids, good, not. Can we really know peace in the midst of all that's going on in our life? Some of you may be in a situation where literally your world's crashing in around you right now. And you're asking, how in the world can I know peace? Jesus wouldn't have said it if it's not possible. It's possible to know peace. And here's the thing that Dad reminded me of this week. Sure, things are scary right now. And things are a little tight right now. Here's what he said. Jesus died for us, and he rose again for us. And his death and his resurrection nailed down, it secured our victory over anything this world or the enemy can throw at us. And through the Holy Spirit living inside you, we can know peace. Jesus facing the death on the cross, he wanted his followers to know and experience the kind of peace that he was talking about. Peace in the middle of a fallen world. We live in a messed up world. Turn on the news. It don't take long to figure it out. Read the newspaper. Talk to people at the store. Bad things are going to happen to every single person in this room. I didn't know if you're ready for that or not, but that's the way it's going to be. If it hadn't happened yet, just wait. It will. Bad things happen. I like what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. He said this, again from the Message. I took another walk around the neighborhood, and I realized that on this earth as it is, the race is not always to the swift, the battle's not always to the strong, nor satisfaction to the wise, nor riches to the smart, nor grace to the learned. Sooner or later, bad luck hits us all. No one can predict misfortune. He says, like fish caught in the cruel net or birds in the trap, so men and women are caught by the accidents and by the evil of this world. It's just a part of life. The world's falling. And that's the way it's going to be. So bad things happen. And when they typically happen in the Simon household, there ain't no getting ready for it. It's just, bam, here it is. No time to get ready. No time to work yourself up. It's just there. We spend a lot of money on insurance. Not knocking what Brother Ricky does, but we try to buy that insurance to buy some peace of mind. So just in case something happens, and usually in our situation, whatever happens more than whatever my policy was for. You know, that's just the way it goes. A pastor at a church that had a rainy day fund, that had a ridiculous amount of money in their rainy day fund, to the point that that rainy day fund became the crown and the authority in their life, not God. And I promise you, whatever we save for, however much we put in the bank, whatever we start putting, when we put all of our eggs in that basket, guess what? Whenever whatever happens in your life, God can make it be way more than that, so that you have to do what? Trust Him. Rely on Him. I like what one pastor said. He said, eternal peace comes from knowing that what was not Satan. Back up. Eternal peace comes from knowing that it was not Satan, Pilate, Herod, the Jews, or the soldiers that were in charge on Good Friday. It was Jesus. Remember what He said? No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. He's in charge. That's what the Message says. Revelation 22 from the Christian Standard says this, look, I'm coming soon, and my reward's with me to repay each person according to his work. Remember, we've been talking about that through the book of James. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the holy city by the gates. Has your robes been washed white? We sang the old hymn, but we sang it a couple weeks ago, I think, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because that's where your peace comes from. Knowing that your sins have been forgiven, knowing that He's in control. I heard a song this morning, and I love how the Holy Spirit works. I listen to Pandora sometimes, old songs. No, it was K-Love Classics is what it was. And anybody remember the old Imperials? The old Imperials, Sail On, Watergrave, all those good songs. Most of y'all going, well, it was a song called Satisfaction Guaranteed. Jim Murray singing that high part. And he says, I was bought with a price, paid in full with one sacrifice. That comes out of 1 Corinthians. That's Paul. But Jim Murray showed us sing it pretty. And that's what I was reminded of. When we know that we've been bought with a price, when we know that our sins have been paid for, when we know that nothing can snatch us out of the Father's hands, you know what? There's really not a lot to be afraid of, because we're secure in Him. I heard a story that went like this. At the end of the Civil War, a troop of northern soldiers were between Richmond, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. And there was a Confederate soldier that come kind of staggering out of the woods. He's dirty. He's hurt. He's skinny. He hadn't bathed in for a long time. He was in bad shape. Hungry. And he recognized the captain of the northern troops, and he said, "Sir, is there anything you can do to help me? Because I'm hungry." He said, "I've been hiding here for 2 weeks because I knew that our side wasn't going to make it. We just wasn't going to win, and so I've been trying to do everything I could do to get to your side." And the captain said, "You hadn't heard, have you?" He said, "No, what?" He said, "The war's been over for 2 weeks. Your general signed a peace declaration or signed a declaration of surrender, and it's over. Why didn't you just go?" Because he didn't know. And I think for a lot of us, we live that way. We don't understand that the war's over. Jesus has declared the war is over. When he said it's finished, that's what he was talking about. It's over. And we can know him and be secure in our relationship with him. The soldier said this, "Peace has been made for 2 weeks, and I've been starving in the woods and didn't know it." I wonder how many of us this morning have been starving in the woods not knowing that your peace has been bought. Jesus has made a difference. He bought your peace. He purchased it with his blood. I'm glad that the peace that we have from Jesus is built on a sure foundation. I love the song "Solid Rock." "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is shifting sand." A lot of us are putting our eggs in that shifting sand stuff and not standing on the solid rock. He's a sure foundation, and that means when, not if, we face unknown, or when tough times come, or when trouble comes, that our hearts need not be troubled. We need not be filled with fear because we're on solid ground. John MacArthur says this, "Our eternal union with God is not built on one's imagination of or one's dreams, but on the trust that since God punished Jesus Christ in my stead, I am pleasing and acceptable to him." That's how we deal with the fear of the unknown. Is you trust in what Jesus Christ has already done for us. I don't know what's going to be between here and the time I take my last breath. But I know what happens as soon as I take my last breath. That's nailed down. That's secure. That's how we deal with the fear. I focus on what I do know. I get worked up over stuff I don't know nothing about. Not one of you in here knows what's going to happen tomorrow. You got plans made, but we really don't know. But I know this. I know he loves me. I know this. I know he proved his love for me, and that while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. I know that he rose again. I know that he's coming back. I know those things. So between here and there, that's really just that long, isn't it? In light of eternity. I love what Paul said to the church at Rome. He's talking about Jesus' unshakable love for them, and he says this. This is the New Living Translation, Romans 8. "Can anything ever separate us from Jesus' love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or that we're persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or we're even threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day and we're being slaughtered like sheep." Paul says that's pretty much the norm. That's just the way it's going to be because we live in a fallen world. But he says, no, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ who loved us. And then he said this, and you could probably say it with me in some form or fashion, however you memorize it. He says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Death nor life can't, angels nor demons can't, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or no power in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation. Did God create the coronavirus? It's here because of he's in control or he's not. Scripture makes it really plain. Nothing that's been created has been created outside. He did it all. But who's in control? He is. And it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God that's revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Josh, I love what John Piper said. He said, the roots of the cross which reach way back before creation and to the eternal Godhead, where God the Son was always infinitely, has always infinitely loved God the Father. Peace Christians are often, peace that Christians experience are offered through the Son surpasses all human understanding. For this fruit from the Holy Spirit is the very same peace that God the Father and God the Son have eternally shared with one another. That's the foundation that we stand on, church. That God loves us. And he proved it by sending Jesus to die for us. And it's safe. And it's secure. The worst storms can't, let me rephrase that. The worst storms should not cause us to fear. But they do. We're never promised an easy life in this world, and I get tired of preachers preaching that. It's going to be easy, and you're going to be rich, and you're never going to be sick. That's not what Scripture teaches. We live in a fallen world that's messed up, and we're going to go through hard times. We're going to experience tough times in our life. Jesus called it tribulation and persecution. He said it's just the way it is. We've all had bad things happen. Health, again, financial, mental, all those things that we talked about. And even those things are out there, Jesus reminds us that our hearts are not to be troubled, but they're to be filled with fear. We've been preaching through the book of James, and I was reminded of what we've already said in James chapter 1. Listen to what it says in verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith has been tested, when your endurance has a chance to grow, he said, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete and in need of nothing. If we want to experience the peace that I've been talking about this morning, where does it start? I believe it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's exactly where it starts. And any hold that Satan thinks he has on us, anything that might threaten our peace with Jesus Christ, you know what? Remember we said Satan knows a lot of things. Satan knows that Jesus Christ has already won. He knows that Jesus already has the victory. He knows that what Jesus Christ did on the cross bought our freedom, secured our freedom, and that forever, because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing can take you out of his hands. Nothing can snatch you away from that. Satan knows that. And so you think he's going to throw everything he can at us to make us doubt that? Sure he is. We need to understand what Jesus Christ has done for us. Josh, if you guys want to come on up and get us ready for an invitation, listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy waiting before him. He endured the cross. He disregarded its shame. And now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all of the hostility that he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become so weary and willing to give up. Church, that's the greatest source of peace that we could ever know. Is to know what Jesus has done for us. Knowing that my life is eternally secure in him. I told you about all those years that I wondered, what if I die, what's going to happen? I'm so great I don't do that anymore. Because I know what he's done for me. Now, I still mess up. I still blow it sometimes. But I know that my sin's not greater than the cross. That he forgave all of my sins. And one day I'm going to spend eternity with him. This morning I hope that I'm not saying that there's not a lot to be concerned about in the next couple of months. But I just pray that you don't let fear grip you to the point that we begin to stop trusting in what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, man, I would love to have an opportunity to share with you how you could know Jesus Christ personally. Next Sunday, we're going to have the privilege of baptizing Ember Lane. And, man, it would be an awesome thing to spend the day baptizing more folks that said, today I'm going to give my heart and my life to Christ. And I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to let fear grip me anymore. I'm going to put my trust in him. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for the next few minutes. And I pray that as we sing and as we worship you, Lord, if there's someone here that's never trusted you, I pray that they would do that today. And Lord, this morning I pray that if there's some of us here that are just worried, I pray that you would help us to do what we've been talking about on Wednesday night, that we would cast all of our worries on you. That's a command so that we could experience your peace. Thank you for what you're going to do in the next few minutes. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together as we sing?